Good evening. Is this on?
I can't tell.
Okay, it is.
I'm so glad that you all are here tonight. I really do appreciate y'all being here. I just wanted to start off by saying thank you to Henderson Church of Christ and to all those who were able to help make this happen, because I really do appreciate it. I've been coming to 545 since my freshman year, so being able to finally be up here is kind of, I want to say it's a big deal for me, at least. And I also really appreciate the guys that have helped me so far. I wasn't sure if they would say yes when I asked them to do it, so I appreciate that you did, especially Evan. Evan hasn't led singing in a few years, but he agreed to do this, and I really do appreciate that. This semester, we've been focused on the sixth man, and for those of you who might not know what that means, basically, during the game of like a game of basketball, each team can have five players on the court at a time. And whenever one of your players starts to get tired or their shot's off and they need some rest to just sit down and take a breath, the sixth man is the person that the coach is going to look to bring him in the game to help get momentum back and keep playing the way that they should be, so that in the long run you can end up winning the game. Tonight, we're going to be able to talk about Silas. If you're wanting to follow along in your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to Acts chapter 15. That's where we're going to be starting tonight. Silas did a lot of great things during his time with Paul. But a lot of people, one thing I didn't know was that Silas really became big in Acts chapter 15, because there was this point where people were disagreeing on a certain topic. It was the topic of circumcision, and they couldn't decide, and one thing led to another, and the church decided that they wanted to send people to go with Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journeys. So the church looks at who they have, and they find Paul, and they find Silas, and they find Silas. If we're going to start in verse, I'm going to try not to read a lot of verses tonight, but I'm going to read verses 22 through 29 for y'all real quick. It reads, "Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers, with the following letter. The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord, choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth, for it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well." Because Silas was selected to go, he kind of became an important figure because of the things that happened afterwards. There are multiple verses throughout the New Testament that show that Silas was very active. Paul starts off both of his books in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians by talking about how he was with Timothy and Silas. 1 Peter 5:12 reads, "By Silvanus, a faithful brother as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it." Silas stood firm in his faith. And because of this, he was chosen by the council to accompany Paul and Barnabas, which definitely changed his life for the better. If we continue reading, we'll come across a disagreement that took place with Paul and Barnabas around verses 36. Verse 36 reads, "And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are.' Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them the one who had drawn from them in Pamphylia and had gone out and had not gone with them to do the work. There arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him, and they sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commanded by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." I think it's important to note that even when Paul and Barnabas were having this agreement over whether or not they should take John Mark or not, they still acted like Christians about it. And they didn't lose focus on what was most important, and that was just to spread the word of God to those who needed to hear it. It ends up happening, they disagree, and so they decide to separate. Overall, I feel like it's not a bad thing that they did. I know that it's not good to come to a disagreement, but what ended up happening was that instead of just one missionary journey taking place, we have two now, because of the fact that Paul and Silas are together, and Barnabas and Mark are together. And then, if you continue reading, into chapter 16, you're going to start to see all the things that Paul and Silas do together. Verses 9 and 10, or in verses 9 and 10, we can read about the Macedonian call. Where Paul sees, he gets this vision telling him that they need to go to Macedonia and spread the word there, and immediately they leave. Eventually they get to Philippi, and they meet somebody named Lydia. Verses, if you're still following along, I'm going to pick up in verse 13 of chapter 16. And it reads, "And on the Sabbath day when we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, in the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, and after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house this day.' And she prevailed upon us." Lydia's conversion is attributed to the fact that the Lord opened her heart. This just shows that God opens the hearts and minds of His Christians when we receive the word, when we're converted and baptized. That's what takes place. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 reads, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." The reason that people do not believe in God today is because their minds have been darkened by the God of this world. As Christians, we've been chosen to go into the world and share His gospel with those who need to hear it. Because of Lydia's conversion and baptism, her whole household was baptized as well. Our goal should be to help others find the light that is missing in their lives as well. If you continue on to verse 16, it reads, "As we're going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation.' And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out that very hour." Luke tells a story like that of the exorcism stories that we can read throughout. throughout the Gospels, which demon possession proclaim their knowledge of the identity of Jesus as a means of showing a form of superiority over them. It seems likely that Luke accredited the girl's knowledge to the supernatural insight of the demon possessed. For those of you who don't know me, I grew up in a family of seven. And I don't know how my parents did it, but they raised five kids. What they weren't expecting, though, was to have four straight boys and then finally had a girl as the youngest. When I read these verses 16 through 18, and read about this girl who just kept annoying Paul and them, I can't help but think about my younger sister. She's 6 years younger than me, and I feel like that's the perfect example. You know, Paul tries so hard to ignore it and to not think about what is happening and what's taking place, and then finally it just gets to this point where he just had to take care of it. I don't know. I think that's what I think of, at least. You know, he ends up exorcising this demon that this girl has and comes out that very hour, and that's great for her. It says that she'd been possessed for years. So going from not being able to control her body at all to for years and just having to watch what was happening and then finally being able to, that has to be an amazing thing to finally overcome. And it's great for her, but it wasn't great for the owners who made a source of income because of this. If we continue reading, verse 20, it reads, "And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, 'These men are Jews, and they're disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice.'" These guys take Paul and Silas, or they take, one thing that I thought was interesting was that Paul's the one who did it, but they just happened to take Silas as well. Silas just kind of got thrown into it as well because of his affiliation with Paul, but he didn't try to run or didn't try to back away from it. He was willing to stick through it with Paul. And I think that that's a big thing that we can take from this, is that as Christians today, we always have our brothers and sisters in Christ to lean on and to look to when we are in situations like that. So they're taken, and they're beaten, and they had their clothes torn off, and they're thrown in jail. It says that they were thrown into the inner jail. I don't really know what that means, but I would assume that it's like a worse jail than just the normal jail. But yeah, they're sitting there. I don't know. I feel like verse 25 is very overlooked. It reads that Paul and Silas were found praying and singing hymns to God while they were shackled to the floor of this jail cell. I don't know about y'all, but I don't know, in that situation, if I was beaten and I was in this, like, I don't know if I could look to God, if the first thing I would do is look to God. And I know that sounds bad, but it just shows how much faith that they have in God and that they're not afraid. You know, after going to freed for 2 years, I discovered that you can go to a lot of devos and singings, and you know, as great as they all are, and I try to go as many as I can, I don't think any of them compare to the Men of Sigma Rho guys devos that we have on Thursday nights in Faro. When I think about singing, I think about all of us crowding into one room, turning the lights off, and everybody just singing their heart out. You'll lose your voice because you're singing so loud. You're not going to be able to hear what you're
even see. You don't. You could sound awful. You won't know it. I recommend that if any of y'all have the chance to, I really do recommend that you try to come to at least one during your time here, because it is it's a sight to see. I can only imagine how Paul and Silas sounded when they were singing praises to God. But when I imagine that, I try to think about our devos and how they sound, and think about how good it must have sounded to those prisoners who have just been sitting there not being able to do a thing. It does say that they were listening to what they were singing. Part of that might have had to do with the fact that they were in the inner prison and they probably never heard anybody ever sing. But I'd like to think that's because of the fact that it sounded the way that it did and it affected them the way that it did. You know, it's really easy to want to sing praises to God when you're doing good. But it takes faith to want to sing praises to God when you're not at all, when you're just in a rough patch. And I know that I'm guilty of it too, but it's just looking to God in those circumstances and being able to praise Him is really what we should all do. Key is just to put our faith in Him and He'll take care of the rest. And God does. God takes care of them. We can read in verse 6:26 that suddenly a great earthquake came and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. We don't know how heavy or how big this earthquake was, or how it would have measured on the Richter scale or anything, but it had to have been pretty strong to open these doors, to shake the stone and the foundations, to get these chains off the walls. That just shows the power of God. You know, not only did the earthquake free the prisoners, but it woke up the jailer. He wakes up to find that all these guys, he wakes up and sees these doors are open and just immediately assumes that they've escaped when they haven't. I'm going to read 29, verses 27 through 34. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And then he said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their feet, washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. And he brought them into the house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. After hearing that Paul and Silas, after hearing what Paul and Silas had to say, the jailer was baptized immediately. It just shows how sincere he was about his decision, and that he knew that what he was doing was the right thing to do. It also says that he washed their wounds, and it just shows how sorrowful he was to put them in the situation that they did. The baptism shows proof of submission, that he realizes that he needs to make a change in his life. One big point that I'd like to drive home tonight is that God will always provide a way of escape to those who need it. He freed Paul and Silas from prison, and he gave them an opportunity to save another household because of it. 2 Corinthians 1:18-19 reads, As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no, has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I,
was not yes and no, but in him it was always yes. As Christians today, I think it's a whole lot easier to be a yes and no kind of Christian. We can show up to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and even show up on Wednesday nights. But the question that we need to ask ourselves is, do I continue to have the same godly attributes throughout the rest of the week when I'm not at church, surrounded by my brothers and sisters in Christ? Personally, I found this pretty easy to act like everything's okay and that I'm doing good in my walk with Christ. But in reality, there might be a completely different way that you're thinking throughout the rest of the week, and you just don't want to acknowledge it or tell anybody or let anybody know. The thing that we need to do is to look to everybody else around us and realize that we're all here and that we all care about each other and that we all have the same goal. Tonight, I'm going to offer an invitation, and anyone who feels like they might need a way of escape from the sin that's filled their life, maybe you become a yes and no kind of Christian, and you realize that you need to make a change in your life in order to strengthen your relationship with God, with your brothers and sisters who care about you. Or maybe you have a lot going on right now, and you could just use some prayers and encouragement to help you get through whatever it is. Or maybe you've thought about being baptized, and you'd like to make that happen tonight so you can begin your walk with God as a new Christian. Whatever your need is, I just ask that you would take advantage of it. If you need anything, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.